Leafs talk, JD Bunker, Sam McKee, Leafs lose. Something that we haven't said in a little while.
Did they ever?
You know, I gotta say, buddy. So,
do I look really? I feel like I'm underwater on my camera. Like the wrong. Like I'm.
You definitely
fun house.
You didn't frame up. It's okay. We rushed it.
There we go. Better.
We were watching Notre Dame. We were trying to see this college football game that's going on right now. Not exactly focusing on the pre-show stuff. Okay. So I'm really critical of this team when they lose. I think that oftentimes if there's one small criticism I would have sometimes for our show, it's that Leafs lose. We can usually put it just on them. Leafs win. We put it usually on them. I just felt like Carolina played an awesome hockey game tonight from basically 10 minutes into the first period onward. They just outworked the Leafs. They beat them on board battles. And could Toronto have been better? Absolutely. But I kind of am tipping the cap to Carolina on this one. I just thought they played really well and Toronto didn't really match them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think this is 5 straight losses to the Carolina Hurricanes for the Leafs,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Is it 4 coming into tonight? 5?
Yeah, it's 5 straight now. Yeah, longest any team they got.
It's a bad matchup. It's a bad matchup for the Leafs. It has been for multiple years. Leafs are not a fast team. And that's an incredibly fast team with every guy that just looks exactly the same. That is the most analytics team of all time, where it's just like they all wear those super dark sweaters and I can't really tell who's who. They're all just flying around the offensive zone, just shooting pucks from everywhere, and they end up going in the net. Good tips. The only guy I can tell that looks any different is Svechnikov and Staal because they're both like super tall, but the rest of them look exactly the same. That's like the most analytics team possible. And it's just a bad match for the Leafs. They couldn't keep up. They jumped them early where they were asleep. The Canes were brutal for the first 10 minutes of this game. Leafs jumped them. And then from then on, Leafs got filled in pretty good. So I like to give them credit too. Thought they were excellent tonight. But yeah, there's definitely some stuff that we can get into with the Leafs.
Yeah, and I want to. I'm not like absolving them in this game by any stretch. Like that's not the end of the show. Yeah,
Staal was
excellent. The end of the show tonight. Like, hey, show's over.
Also, Canes just the Irish. I feel bad for the Irish. Our beloved Joe Bowen. Just like the all-time bad beat, having a huge game on a Thursday night across from the Leafs. And it feels like every Saturday, like in January, the Packers are playing the wild card night game. So he's like, it's always across from a Leafs game. So I feel from him tonight, I wonder if he's still in the studio. Oh, he's not as happy as he left a few seconds ago. Okay, yeah. So maybe he's going to listen in the car or whatever. But yeah, it's a tough one. Tough one for both. Anyways.
Yeah, I hate having to do these shows against great matchups.
Yeah.
Especially since my show, which will be back tomorrow. I'm feeling a lot better. Was off sick the last couple of days. I'll be back in the seat previewing the wildcard games and then also talking a little Blue Jays. Nice. Okay. But as for this game, I didn't think it was just their speed though. I think that part of the reason why the matchup was bad is that Carolina just outworked them on the boards all night long. Like they were able to kind of get that cycle game going against the Leafs. And without Jake McCabe there to kind of aid it, you really saw what I thought were the warts of Toronto's blue line, where it just became a pretty ugly chop fest for them whenever they had to play the puck down low. Carolina was just kind of beating them down here. And like, how many goals did Carolina score where Toronto couldn't clear the front of the net? I think at least 3 of them, maybe 4 of them, where it's just failing to clear out front. It's one thing to get beat with the speed. It's another thing for a Craig Berube team, and this is where I'm kind of most critical of them. Two parts is that they really did get outworked physically, and two is just, I kind of felt like the Leafs went to sleep a little bit after the 2-0 lead where they kind of went into coast mode a bit, and then it bit them in the ass with those 2 goals at the end of the first period.
Yeah, I do think, and I texted you this during the game amongst our many texts that we share during every game, that the loss of Jake McCabe sticks out like a sore thumb. And it's not just because of actually losing him. It's slotting everybody in properly where, you're having Tanev and McCabe play together and that's your go-to shutdown pairing. And then you don't have to lean as much on Morgan Riley. He plays with Philip Myers and they're kind of your second pair and you get more minutes for Riley when he's playing on the power play. And then, you mix in whoever on the bottom half. If you have Benoit with Ekman Larson, or if you want to do Tim, anyways, you know what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of Timmins. It's a lot. And my thoughts on Myers, like him, but it's just a lot of Myers.
It's too much Myers right now.
It's just a lot of guys that aren't great. Really. Timmins had a really nice start to the year and we heaped a lot of praise on him, but it's gone the other way. And it's just a lot of him right now. Morgan Riley, as has been well documented, is absolutely fighting it as bad as a guy can fight it right now on the back end. And, you know, they put him with Tanev, and immediately Tanev's like getting barbecued.
I was just going to say that.
Get him away from
Tanev. Have a worse game? Like, look at that clip.
I know. Like, so
it looked, I honestly thought Tanev aged by 2 years just from this game alone.
I know. So, yeah, it's just, I think defensively, there's a lot of fire drills tonight. Like you said, they're cycling well. The Leafs are skating around. They're doing stops and starts. They're not winning any puck battles. And they're just good in front of the net, good tips, whacking away like that one that ends up in the back of the net with Stahl off the pass from Sechnikov. It's just that Noah McCabe is sticking out like a sore thumb. You can get away with it against Philly, but when you're playing teams like the Canes who fly around and are good offensively, you're going to have a tough goal.
You know what else doesn't help you?
Hmm.
When your best players let in all the goals against.
Yeah, what a flip.
Yeah,
what a flip. Like, unbelievable. Morgan Riley, Mitch Marner, Matthew Nyes, and Austin Matthews. So I'm doing the quick math here. There's just never a good, it's seven. They're a combined minus 20 in this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard to do.
Yep.
That is remarkably hard to do. Like, and they even scored one on the power play, which doesn't count against plus minus, obviously. The special teams on both sides of it doesn't count. But minus 20 amongst those guys, Matthew Nyes, Mitch Marner, and Austin Matthews were brilliant against the Flyers. And they come in here, and they have a awful game. Like, just soft on pucks, not great on really anything, bad defensive reads, just letting guys walk in behind them, brutal on the shorthanded goal, like you pointed out to me. Just not pretty. So. Well,
yeah, it was awful, but I think we should run the shorty because I thought this kind of embodied the night they had. This was the worst moment of the night for them. I actually am a fan of the five forward power play. I just think that it's threatening, and normally I'm the kind of guy who tries to make the case like, oh, is one Morgan Riley really going to make the difference against goals like this? Well, maybe, because that was a nightmare. Yeah. Like, all three of the Leafs star guys all can be looked at in this clip and eviscerated. Like, take your pick. Roll it back again, show. Like, let's start with Austin Matthews' back check here. If he puts in, what, one hard stride, he's able to break this up? Look where he is starting this play. Like, yeah, run it. And look at the skating.
So
what is that?
What I will say.
I guess Marner is the one that you're kind of the least critical of. Like, Nylander sort of gets lost on the play, doesn't seem to really give too much of a crap when he ends up. He's like, I got mine tonight. I got back on the score sheet. Like, boy, this is just awful stuff, man.
What I will say here is it's a bad look to see the captain coasting back, but when you're on the power play, you're obviously cheating offensively. Every guy in the league does it. And when you see 88 going towards the boards there, you have puck possession. He screws up the possession, and automatically that it's a 2-on-1 where Matthews has no chance of getting back into the play. He's already at center ice. Like, it's just, that's a play that every guy in the NHL makes where it's just like you're cheating a little bit to offense on the power play where you just think you have the board sealed. He kind of bumbles it and ends up in the back of your net. It's not pretty from anybody, but like, I really have a hard time killing Matthews for not going full tilt when he has no chance of getting back in that play. That's where I stand.
He absolutely had a chance. It was earlier in the play. Like, it just give me one hard stride. Give me one hard stride.
They should have puck possession with William Nylander about to get the puck, and he bumbles it and it goes in the back of the net. And he's been bumbling a lot of pucks along the boards.
He has bumbled some pucks along the boards. Yeah, I just thought it was a terrible night for those guys. They'd been going really well and seemingly kind of went into cruise control. And shockingly, after minus 20 combined, the coach decided to shuffle up the lines in the third. And I would guess that that's actually what he's going to do going into the next game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – listen, I don't know how to care how good you are. Can't go minus – whatever it was, what did I say? I don't even know if I'm right. Minus 20 and get to play together the next game. I don't know if that's written in the coach's rule book, but I'll put that in there as number one.
Yeah.
Can't play together.
they've been playing great. I think that for the most part, it's like we've been pretty surprised at how good Matthews has looked, how rejuvenated Nyes has looked. But yeah, I would throw one little mix-up game. I would throw Marner back with Tavares for a game. And just see what that looks like and switch it up. Who cares? Still long stretch of the season. Still want to rep those guys out with others. And who knows how it works. Nylander gets off the schneid with one of the weirdest sequences that I can remember. I told you already, like over text, I, I don't think I've ever seen this before. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a guy with three clean breaks on net like this within the first 10 minutes of a hockey game. Rings one off the post, mm-hmm. which at that point I'm texting Show going, clip this because he's snake bit. Second one, he tries to go to a move, backhand, I believe, and yeah, gets stuffed. And then the third one, like, beats him clean and scores. And I think, okay, now he's going to dominate, which he did the rest of the first period. He was amazing. He was flying out there. And then the rest mm-hmm. of the game, he's just sort of went away.
Yeah, Nylander, that's a go-to move for him. He scored a lot of times on breakaways with that backhand move with the right-hand shot. But the one where he actually ends up scoring is just a beautiful snapper, low blocker off the post yeah. and in. But yeah, like a lot of the guys in the team, he kind of went away tonight and he makes a mistake on the shorthanded goal. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Willie. And then it finally got to the coach today. And he said that he's got to work. He's got to work and to get his. And he did yep. for 20 minutes.
Yep.
And then it was a little less worky for the rest of the game, I would say. But he's a confidence player. That's what Coach Berube said this morning about how he's a confidence player and he needs to get his confidence back. Seeing one go in the net like that, maybe that's a sign of things to come. The rest of the team wasn't very good. It was just a bad night all around. So maybe once they get going here Saturday night, he starts feeling it. But yeah, that was a really, really weird first period for him. I can't remember two clear-cut breakaways for the same player like that in a really long time. It was crazy.
No.
Leads the league in breakaways kind of guy every year. He's always on breakaways, but two in one period, 5 minutes.
Yeah. In 5 minutes and one where it's just like a clean break, clean look on net, like not quite a breakaway, but just about as close as you're going to get to it. I just thought he dominated that first period and I went, oh my God, this is why he gets criticized, is because he can just do this from time to time. And yeah. I was a little surprised to see him go away like this. I'm seeing, I don't know if Nick is just putting in all negative comments.
Yeah, it's exclusively negative.
Like, Nick is just like, hey guys, just
I hate you both. I'm putting in yeah. stuff that's only yeah, negative.
Like, is this right. the chat? Is this reflective of the chat today? Because it's really bad. Yeah, you wouldn't think the Leafs won five in a row, and you would think that some people like the show. It's horrible. Oh my God. All right, it is, says everybody. All right, chat, awful. Too bad. What's next? Yeah, we've talked about the goalies being good all season long. Yeah. I think it's fair to say this was by far not his best performance.
What I said earlier in the week and last week, and I mentioned on Real Kipper and Bourne, we were looking ahead to the schedule. I thought this one might have been pushing it to play him. I thought this is a tough one on the road. This is a spot where you could maybe sneak one with Hildeby. And when you sit here with this result, you can really, really grab the hindsight and say that it was probably going to get filled in anyway. And maybe they play a little differently in front of the kid. They play a little harder defensively. I don't know. But yeah, I think there was some tired brain tonight for Wall. He's playing a lot, playing more than he ever has. And listen, they got some great chances, but he just wasn't tracking it like he usually does. And I thought that it just wasn't his best night. Probably his worst. So there, not his best, actually his worst. So I didn't like a lot from him
back. Probably when he first came back from injury, when he looked really rusty. And
was that against the Blues maybe when he first came back?
Yeah, anyway. It was. The first game back for him was against the Blues. Because remember, they kind of funneled him to start because he's from the area.
Yeah.
And Stolarz was hot and people were questioning whether that should be the case. But yeah, he made one awesome save right when it was, I think, 4-3, the cross crease save with his toe. Yeah. That kind of kept him in it for a little bit. And I went, oh, okay, you need to find himself. And yeah, just I didn't think that. I thought the same thing as you, actually, which is that he looked a little tired tonight. And I wonder how much of that is what I put on a player that I'm worried about being tired versus whether he actually is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it would be the most shocking thing if they decided to put Hildeby in net on Saturday.
I think Hildeby on, that's why I would have gone with it here, where it's a getaway game. You're on a 2-game road trip here. I guess Hildeby, he forgot to take a mentor, so maybe he wasn't going to play in front of his mentor. He had no mentor. He called up too late. So they didn't want to disappoint him in front of nobody, I guess. Yeah. But I thought this is the last game of a little mini 2-game road trip. You sneak Hildeby in this game. And then you have him rested for the big game on Saturday night against the Vancouver Canucks, which, you know, of course, is all of Vancouver's Super Bowl, the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, but Toronto means nothing, and Vancouver's struggling. And
for sure. But like, I don't like
this is a conference opponent that you're kind of measuring yourself up against. Yeah. I think that it makes way more sense to play him in this game versus the Vancouver game.
I think maybe laying it out like that, but Saturday night at home against another Canadian team. It seems like a more of a starting goalie start. This one seems like a more of a backup start to me. But yeah, I mean, it's a definite moot point here now. And I think they're just like, he's been really good all year. He's been one of the best goalies in the league. And like, he's in his last five starts, I forget what his number is, but I think it's up over 930, close to 940 for his save percentage. He's been fantastic. He's not going to be awesome every night, clearly. But I just, you know, the way I saw him tonight, a little bit laboring on some shots, just not looking like his usual sharp self. So this is something they're going to have to watch and something they're going to have to monitor, because have we got a Stolarz, like, you know, they talk about that nugget that was in his knee. Have we got a nugget about him coming back? Like, has there been any indication of sightings of him?
Part of the reason is that Wolf's been so good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could skate.
But for sure. But what was the original timeline in terms of coming back? It was supposed to be like late January, right? So I feel like we're probably not going to be getting an update on that until it's actually closer to the return.
I would be stunned. Well, yeah, but you thought like maybe, you know, when guys are hurt, like Ovi skated two days after breaking his leg. So, you know, some guys get on the ice. So you just would like to see something. You haven't heard anything about him. I'd be stunned if we saw him before the Four Nations face-off break, quite honestly.
Yeah, I don't think we will.
I'd be stunned if we saw him before then. So, anyways.
Especially given how the Leafs have treated the season in terms of injuries, like the overcaution, which is fine. And the way that it's been so condensed in terms of the games, that's the part of the thing that is got people, I think, a little bit up in arms about Wool and the workload. Like, I'll just say me personally, like when I start to get finicky about it and I start to worry about it, a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's just like, man, they're playing so many games because of this weirdo schedule.
Four games a week, it feels like, every week.
Every single week, yeah. It's just like, here, they're pounding them. So, yeah, again, wouldn't hate it, but I guess this is a situation where you just got to trust your athletic staff, got to trust the goalie coach, and got to trust Wohl that he'd be honest with him if he does need a blow. Yeah. Scratch and score.
Yes. Glad you brought it up. It's your greatest nickname, my friend.
I'll never have a better nickname than that.
I feel like... totally stolen valor. I got like four or five tweets tonight without you on it being like scratch and score. I'm like, this is not mine. This is my great friend JD Bunkus's. This is all his, baby. I'm
not as long as the show gets credit, then that's all. I'm a team player.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. You deserve credit for that one. It's a very good one.
Well, it's just that it's like he scores. This is so funny because they brought up before the game that he's done very well against Carolina in his career. And I was looking it up. It's like, yeah, he's done better against them than like any. He's like them in the stars in terms of percentage of games that he scored a goal in. And he scratched, he's put him in. And I totally forgot to put a huge bet on him scoring a goal.
Damn.
I really
should have.
I know. And the big reveal tweet was going to be that I put a big money bet on his goal with scratch and score. And the game, it just, day got away from me a little bit. Sick brain, you know, finished a pre-tape for tomorrow's show. And then boom, game started. Forgot to get the bet in. Idiotic. He gets one. And
so you look at the box score tonight. He had a goal. He was at even. He had five shots on goal in 13 minutes. You'd think, boy, what a night for Nick Robertson.
He was spark.
Okay. Yeah. He was not great. He was not great. He was really not great.
I don't want to do this because it feels like bullying at this point, but it's like, just watch. All I ask is just watch.
I know. Watch. But listen, at least he's producing a little bit here where maybe you trick somebody. Maybe you catch the right pro scout on the right night and he's just like, all right, yeah, we'll take him for Yanni Gourde. The Kraken are so desperate for anything because they suck so bad because they botched the expansion draft so bad. They're like, yeah, sure, Robertson can shoot it in the net. I was at that Carolina game. He had one shot. He had five shots on goal. 13 minutes, had a goal.
I hope that scout blinks. Hope it's Wes Clark. I hope that scout blinks every single time Robertson's around another guy that has the puck. When he's doing his like stick out the stick glide move, or when he's just standing at the top of the zone, completely floating as one of the goals goes in tonight. You're just like, man, God, it's just Yeah, it's Patrick G. I would rather keep Robertson and trade Minton or Cowan. Might be the worst opinion we've ever seen from the chat. So congrats to Patrick.
Nick is purposely putting the worst thing.
Yeah, I think Nick is. I think this is a sabotage night. Like, I normally haven't read any of the chats. So I was like, I had to double take that one. But yeah, okay.
If you go back and watch, I don't know how long we are into this show. If you go back and watch my reaction when that take gets put off, you will see me go like visibly scoff at that.
Every one of these is horrible. Like, this is terrible. I'm missing the Notre Dame game for this, like, this reaction, but muscling through, like, one of my worst, like, 24-hour sicknesses I've ever had for this. You trade them if you can get rid of them, like, as soon as possible, as soon as you get a decent deal. I got nothing else. Anything from you?
Just a quick one for you. You know, we're getting to the age where the players coming in, their kids, and like making you feel old. God, Jackson Blake, it's hilarious. By the way, Jason, one of your best interviews maybe you've ever done, was that last year? Fantastic interview. Yeah, go back and listen to that.
Made me feel horrible, dude.
Of course, all of us felt horrible because of like how much he had to tough through with like the cancer diagnosis and all this stuff.
Everybody knew he had cancer, but it was like, this guy, it was a different time, right? Like, social media,
very different.
That's time. Around when Jason Blake signs the Leafs.
Yeah,
somebody's like reporting on it differently.
Yeah,
and instead everyone was
Reach gets like a super good scoop on it. We're all like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, somebody does, but it's like, that guy played 82 games for the Leafs. If you don't remember Jason Blake, if you're too young in the chat, you're firing stuff like trade Robertson or trade Minton Cow instead of Robertson. You got like no memories of anything because either you had like a head injury or you're too young to remember. Jason Blake was like so criticized for the contract and guy who got a ton of shots his first year with the Leafs. When he played with Toronto, he had just received his cancer diagnosis. Yeah. He was like taking his cancer meds and toughing out, played 82 games.
It's incredible. And I still say to this day, one of my favorite tentpole takes, if two of those shots go early, he scores 50. Like, there's never been a more snake bit. Like, you think Willie's been snake bit for the last 8 games?
How many shots? Blake, I wonder how many shots he had.
He was tied with Ovi. He was tied with Ovi, like, through the first 2 months. I remember him being tied. Like,
I remember that because I had him in fantasy, and he was actually valuable because shots were a category. Yeah. And it was like, he was one of the bigger point producers in the league, in this league. And we had something called the Jason Blake rule where we got rid of shots the next year because he was too dominant in shots.
And so it's just, I love that production. I love that Jackson's on the team, chip off the old block, looks just like his dad. And Jason just is like, I love my name so much, I'm just going to add a CK right in the middle, and that's your name, son. You're not Jason Jr., you're Jackson.
I thinking that his wife, he was like, his name was Jason with a C, and then she was like, no, we're adding this X. He's Jackson.
So really like that. My last thing, I know you probably don't care, but God, the Canes just do too much with these jerseys. All these jerseys. They've had a million different jerseys, and they just try to do so much with that hurricane flag and like, they are in desperate need of a rebrand, or just never wear those ones you wear tonight ever again. Those are horrible. EA Sports, create a team, just never taken seriously. Like, I can't imagine a team lifting the cup wearing those jerseys. They're awful. They're old ones with the logo and then having the stripe be that hurricane flag. Those are passable. Those are passable jerseys. They're fine. But though, whatever those monstrosities they wore tonight, that's not National League. That's like an ECHL, AHL team. Ugly. Ugly.
Yeah. And
Jason Blake had 40 shots in his first 10 games.
Yeah. 7-0. All while taking the cancer meds.
Buddy, legend. I'm telling you, 4 of those go, he's on Legends Row.
Yeah. Really, truly, like, gutsy stuff from that guy. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Buggers, unless you're Patrick G, who, don't bother. Stay quiet.
I love you, Patrick G. That's
Patrick G, I guarantee if you follow either of us on Twitter, you're already muted. There's no question that.
You're just being nasty.
That's just facts. Patrick G. That's just facts. All right. And to the rest of you meanies tonight.
Holy me.